Good Tuesday morning, you're tuned in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on Cijolo, 1690 AM, here inside of Montreal. On this week's episode, it is our annual Jack Nicholson Interrupt Us Anniversary Awards for 2024. Danny joins me later on to hand out some awards to the anniversary films that we reviewed this year. Out for DVD Tuesday for December the 10th would be The Beast. This is a sci-fi thriller starring Léa Seydoux. That one arrives out onto DVD. You also have Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Not for the kids, this one. It is a horror thriller that arrives out onto DVD. Let's get to some music to get your morning started here. I have You Do Right with Lost and Overcast from the album From the Heights of Our Pasture Land. And then we're going to hear Maya Malkin with Groupie from the album It's a Me Thing. And then finally, my top artist of the year onto Apple Music was Coldplay. However, CJLO has a thing against probably playing Coldplay on air, so I will respectfully go with my top song of the year from Apple Music, the one that I listen to the most. Drumroll. It would be Cornerstone from the Arctic Monkeys off of their album, Humboon. You are tuned in listening to At the Movies, with Iconic Sounds, only heard, CJLO, 1690 AM here in Montreal. Thank you.
your show is over, said come up to your room. And everybody already knew to give us a moment alone. Now you're pulling me close and I'm ready for the ride. Cause baby, you're a rock star. Wanna rip my clothes off. Gently tension and hard out of control. And I'm your pretty pop star. Touch me and you're starstruck. You and me are in high, so rock and roll. So give me time for us to keep pretending that this will never happen again and again. I'll see you at the next summer fest. Yeah, you say hi and then, well, you know the rest. Cause baby, you're a rock star. Wanna rip my clothes off. Turn the tension and heart out of control. And I'm your pretty pop star. Touch me and you're starstruck. You and me are in high, so rock and roll. So give me
call me anything you want.
Welcome back. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on Sujetlo, 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Since this is probably going to be one of our last shows of the year discussing film, despite our two best of shows featuring the scores from cinema, let me introduce you to the segment of spending your holidays at the movie theater. If you are like me and a big movie fan, then maybe you want to skip the holidays entirely and go directly spend your holidays inside of a movie theater. Some people do that. So here are the latest releases for this December inside of a movie theater. So on to December the 13th, that would be this Friday, you have Kraven, which is a Marvel film. This one has been postponed for a long time, so I don't know what to think about this one. I definitely want to see it, especially from the fact that I've been playing Spider-Man 2, and Kraven is the big villain inside of Spider-Man 2, the video game. So, yes, I also am looking forward to Lord of the Rings, The War of Rohan. So it's been a while since we've had a Lord of the Rings-esque film, so this one's animated. It might be a little bit interesting, I would say. I definitely can't wait for this one. But the one that I can't wait for until December the 13th, that I would skip out the holidays entirely for, would be a new Luca Guadagnino film. The film stars Daniel Craig, and the film is called Queer. This one arrives out December the 13th inside select theaters. Let's take a listen.
The wise old queen taught me that I had a duty to live, you know, to conquer hate with knowledge and sincerity and love.
The difficulty is to convince someone else he is really part of you.
What else should I be? All apologies. What else should I say?
I've got bigger fish to fry.
Bigger fish is right. Cold, slippery, hard to catch.
In the sun.
What's she got to lose?
The sun appears.
Independence.
Talk to you.
Married, buried,
without speaking.
That was a little bit of Luca Guadagnino's Queer starring Daniel Craig. That one arrives on select theaters December the 13th. So still continuing spending your holidays at the movie theater. We have some releases for December the 20th. These are more of the kid-friendly, family-friendly film. So you have Mufasa the Lion King, and you have Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Why to see Mufasa the Lion King? Well, Barry Jenkins, the director behind Moonlight, is directing it. So I feel that it will be a good film. I have high hopes for Barry Jenkins with this one. Reasons to see Sonic the Hedgehog 3, if you're a big fan of Sonic the Hedgehog. I haven't followed the film series, so I can't say much about it. Jim Carrey, maybe? Always a good time when Jim Carrey's on screen. So maybe those are the reasons to see Sonic the Hedgehog 3, or if you're a fan of the series as a whole. Now, December the 25th, yes, we do get Christmas presents under the tree inside of the theater. So you have Timothée Chalamet in the Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown. As well, too, you get Baby Ratu. What is Baby Ratu? Well, Nosferatu, directed by Robert Eggers, sees a release. And then you also have Baby Girl, which is an A24 film with Nicole Kidman. And I feel that this one may be the one that solidifies me putting Nicole Kidman as inside the Best Actress category from the trailer alone. I've seen Maria, starring Angelina Jolie, She's probably going to be at the bottom of my list for the best actress, but definitely contender for it, even though people are saying this is a career-defining performance. But I feel that Nicole Kidman's going to be an easy, solid pick for best actress with A24's Baby Girl. And with that said, let's take a little bit of a listen to the trailer for A Complete Unknown. Timothée Chalamet as Bob Dylan. I don't know. Maybe I guess that I would have to go onto the alley with Aviva at some point and review this film. Or maybe we can make it a double bill where we review A Complete Unknown. And we also look at Tom Hades's I'm Not There. That can be an interesting comparison.
200 people in that room, and each one wants me to be somebody else. And they should just let me be.
Let you be what?
Whatever it is they don't want me to be.
I hear Bob is playing electric.
Not on our stage, he isn't.
They just want me singing Blowing in the Wind for the rest of my goddamn life.
Well, this is gonna piss some people off.
You came here with nothing but a guitar.
You never talk about your family, your past.
People make up their past, Sylvie. They remember what they want, they forget the rest.
I wanna know which side he's on.
I'm not sure they wanna hear what I wanna play, Johnny.
I wanna hear it.
So, yes, the Complete Unknown can be a complete success or a complete failure, according to my cinema friend, Sean, who is excited, but also he knows that it could be a failure, so he doesn't know what to think about this one. I don't know what to think about that one, because if I were to be skipping the holidays entirely and headed to the theaters, I think that it would be Baby Ratu that I would be going to see. But lo and behold, I cannot forget, because there's a 3-hour, 30-minute epic called The Brutalist, starring Adrian Brody. That one arrives out inside of the holiday season. It seems like it might get a December 25th release. However, more for Montreal, you're looking for an early to mid-January release, since that's when the films are normally released there. I don't know why they do it, but one of the speculations that I can propose is possibly for having a French version and an English version, having the French version dubbed in time alongside the English version's release. But I can't wait for The Brutalist. So those would be the films that I would skip out the holidays entirely for. Luca Guadagnino's Queer, Mufasa the Lion King from director Barry Jenkins, probably. Can't wait to see what he does with that one. Baby Ratu, and of course, The Brutalist with Adrian Brody. So many films that The Brutalist is being compared to that I can't wait for it. What are your thoughts on To a Complete Unknown? Chalamet doing Bob Dylan? I don't know. I mean, Jeremy Allen White's going to be doing Bruce Springsteen. Next year we get that film. I do believe that one's going to be interesting as well too. But anyways, hopefully I have made a list of films to look forward to spending your holidays at the theater for. And I will see you at the theaters. Bon cinéma. And when we come back from our music break, Danny joins me as we hand out our anniversary awards to the anniversary reviewed films that we saw this year in our annual Jack Nicholson Interrupt Us Anniversary Awards for 2024. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard, CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Et c'est bien en vain qu'on l'appelle Siri.
So you're tuned in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside Montreal. This essentially is one of our final episodes of the year for Danny and myself, where we're going to give out some awards to our anniversary movies that we reviewed this year, as we typically call it the Jack Nicholson Interrupt Us Please Awards for the Anniversary Awards for 2024. We get to Best Original or Adapted Screenplay first. We had some strong contenders, but onto this front, I went with The Apprenticeship of Duty Kravitz from Mordecai Richler, and that was adapted into the film. That would be the same title. And I read the book earlier this year, and I felt that the film adaptation was faithful to the book adaptation as well, too, capturing the charisma and the characters, essentially, of the film. Along the scene, too, the Montreal landscape, which I found was really important, too, to the book. For your pick for Best Original or Adapted Screenplay, where did you go with, Danny?
I chose Amadeus.
Based on two things. So it's based on Amadeus by Peter Schaeffer, but also Mozart and Salieri by Alexander Pushkin. All right. Now we go for Best Cinematography for a film. And I have a tie here with two films, which I really enjoyed their cinematography. I felt that it was really well done. So for Best Cinematography for the films that we watched this year during our anniversary review, I went with Chungking Express from director Wong Kar-wai. But also, I was really impressed by the cinematography of The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. Very colorful animation. Not animation, but very colorful visuals on screen that were really well choreographed. And for Chungking Express, there's something about the cinematography to a Wong Kar-wai film that really enamored me, and probably one of my favorite things about Chungking Express. So for Best Cinematography, where did you go with, Danny?
I also went with the Chungking Express, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed with the camera work throughout the film, especially with the lady with the blonde wig, and she ran that drug operation. It was that scene was very detailed.
Mm-hmm. For best editing now, that is the way that the film is edited together, I went with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Leave it to a horror film to keep the suspense, and part of the suspense is due to the editing, I feel. And that's what truly sort of solidifies the Texas Chainsaw Massacre as one of the quote-unquote great horror films, is through its use of editing. For use of editing, Danny, for best editing for our anniversary review of films, where did you go?
I went with Mary Poppins.
Okay. Yeah, I feel that the editing for Mary Poppins was really well done. The way that the scenes transition together.
I think so too. Sorry, go ahead.
I was rewatching the song about the woman with the bird and about Mary Poppins singing about Toppins. And you can see how the editing flows, how you see how it's edited inside of the style of the song at the very end of it, which I find is really cool.
Now, I was just very impressed with what they did with the technology that they had at that time. I think, especially for somewhere in the early to mid 60s, it was beautifully done.
For best score or soundtrack, I went with Michael Legrand's score for The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, but the songs work very well too with The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. So definitely enjoyed, out of the two films that we watched, Mary Poppins really has a great soundtrack. However, for the first time I really enjoyed The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, the way that the score and the soundtrack intertwine and work well together. For best cast, oh, sorry, for best score or soundtrack for yourself, Danny, that would be either the music underscoring the film or for a best original soundtrack of the music from the film. Where did you go with Danny?
Beverly Hills Cop.
That is a very good score and soundtrack. Axel F as one of the themes there. Definitely a notable theme that comes up a lot, and it's definitely a notable theme, from a film. We get to best cast ensemble. For me, one of the cast ensembles that really works well, that is a timeless cast ensemble, I shall add as well too, would be the cast of Mary Poppins. Everybody's working together onto this film, and it really works so well together. These songs come together through the cast as well too, and I feel that it's really one of the best cast ensembles for a film. So for best cast ensemble, Danny, who did you go with?
I went with Collateral, actually.
Definitely a strong pick. Collateral will be seeing more love from me very soon as well too. But the cast from Collateral is really good too. You got Tom Cruise, you got Jamie Foxx, you got Jada Pinkett Smith as well too. Really well done. So
Well,
for
sorry, go ahead.
No, you were going to
Oh,
add on
yeah,
to that.
no. Yeah, I was just going to add on that I do have, I'm not going to lie, I do have mixed opinions about Tom Cruise as an actor, but I do feel that this film was one of his best work.
I think that we can agree there inside of a little bit. We'll have some agreement there inside of a little bit when we get to some of my other picks here. For best blind spot, so this would be a film that you watched for the first time that you had never seen. I think that you were the one that mentioned that we should be doing this one. So I definitely enjoyed watching it for the first time, Beverly Hills Cop. It is called classic film, I would add, and Eddie Murphy's great inside of it, and it's a really good 80s film.
Well,
So for
for me, I picked. Sorry, go ahead.
for best blind spot, who are you going with for the first time
I
that
went
you're watching?
with Hoop Dreams.
Hoop Dreams, yes. I really am happy that you got a chance to see Hoop Dreams. Hoop Dreams is like by far one of the best documentaries that you can come across. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Hoop Dreams from director Steve James from 1994. A great film. I think that we have time for Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress. For Best Supporting Actor, here I go with Papa Hawk from Boyhood, one of the greatest Ethan Hawke from Boyhood. Just the way that he has his life philosophies and stuff intertwined inside of this film makes him a really great supporting character and supporting actor inside of the film.
I went with David Tomlinson, the actor who played Mr. Banks from Mary Poppins.
Where we get to know Best Supporting Actress, I went with Eva Saint Marie from On the Waterfront. Really enjoyed her acting as opposed to opposed to going up against the giant of Marlon Brando, who is the main actor inside of the film. I feel that she really does a great supporting performance inside of On the Waterfront. Even though some might say that she was the actress inside of On the Waterfront, I went with her as a supporting actress because I did want to give her some love there for her role inside of On the Waterfront. Who are you going with for best supporting actress inside of a film, Danny?
I went with Ellen Farner, who played Madeleine from The Umbrellas of Cherbourg.
Madeline would be the mother.
That would no Matt Matt Madeleine. She that was the character that was helping Guy with his sick aunt.
Yes, I definitely enjoyed her performance performance as well too, if I do remember the film. Now you're jogging my memory a little bit. I really enjoyed her inside of that role as well too.
I
So
mean,
I guess that
from what I
will.
remember, from what I remember, from what I remember, her name is Madeline. But yeah, I mean, feel free to double check that.
We will get to our top picks for best actress, best actor, and three best pictures when we come back from a break. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Welcome back. You're tuning in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. We're giving away some anniversary awards inside of our iconic, and every single year we do this, and it can't be any other year. And we titled this awards season or this award show, as always, the Jack Nicholson Interrupt Us Anniversary Awards. So we get to Best Actress now. I went with Claudette Colbert from the film It Happened One Night. I think that her performance was really, really good inside of the film, and I enjoyed her performance inside of It Happened One Night.
I went with Marilyn Burns, who played Sally from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay.
Now, I was very impressed with her performance throughout the film, especially near the end when she was kidnapped by those psychopaths.
Definitely. I feel that she gives a great performance around the end of the film, being the final girl, as you would call it from a horror film, because normally horror films have what is called the final girl, so Sally might be one of the original final girls to a horror film. For best actor, I have two in the mix here. So I went with Tom Cruise from Collateral. Definitely enjoyed his performance just because of the fact that it really isn't a character that you see Tom Cruise playing, but he pulls it off so effortlessly that that's what makes it such a great performance. And then I also went with F. Murray Abrams from Amadeus, who plays Salieri. Really a great performance as well, too.
For best actor, I picked Clark Gable.
To go alongside my best actress of Claudette Colbert. So we can say that I feel that the film there, It Happened One Night, has our best actor and best actress, I would say retrospectively, for a pick.
Well, for Clark Gable's character, Peter Warns, this character was very arrogant, very egotistical, but at the same time, very charming. And I do feel that Clark Gable pulled that off quite well.
We get to our three best pictures right now. So the first best picture would be the best picture for a timeless classic. For myself, that would be On the Waterfront, that I feel is a timeless classic film that will never go out of style. And it has one of the best actors inside of the film, Marlon Brando. And the film as well, too, is really well shot. And I really feel that On the Waterfront deserves this timeless classic best picture.
I also went with On the Waterfront for best picture for a timeless classic. I consider it a timeless classic because it touches upon a lot of what's still going on in the world, where criminals own certain businesses and people are punished for speaking out and telling the truth.
For best picture of that decade, so we take a look at a decade that one of the films came out with, and I feel that one best picture that captures not only the decade, but also is definitive onto people's list when they come to think about what was the best picture of the decade of the 2010s. And definitely Boyhood is on the list as one of the best films of that decade. And it's onto my list too, because best picture of the decade for me goes to Boyhood.
For me, best picture of that decade, I went back in time for this. I went back to the 70s, as a matter of fact. I chose Apprenticeship of Duty Kravitz.
Oh, very good pick too. Yeah, I definitely feel that that film represents the decade. I mean, it also showcases Montreal and some of the places where I grew up and know about. So definitely I feel that very good pick with that one. And now we get to our best picture. So this would be overall best picture. And it might be a little bit strange to have this as my best picture, but I definitely feel that documentaries are important, and that is why for Best Picture, I'm going with Hoop Dreams as my Best Picture win for this year's Anniversary Awards, with the runner-up being Amadeus for me.
With me, the movie I picked, it's a movie that touched upon similar themes as Hoop Dreams. It's also a coming of age film. I chose Boyhood.
Very good pick as well too. I was hoping that Boyhood would get some recognition and some love, and I feel that it definitely does deserve that as well too. Inside the last few minutes of this anniversary award, we normally traditionally invite Jack Nicholson to interrupt us, and it wouldn't be anywhere else without him interrupting us. So whenever he's ready, take it away, Jack.
No politics,
Jack, no.
George. What about
if you want to talk
you're in
politics,
jail,
we
so
can.
Such a beautiful job.
Thank
No need to
you.
crush it.
Yeah, you're being really rude.
Good to see you.
I enjoyed the night. I loved it.
Oh my
It was
God.
great.
Thank you. I
You
loved
look
all
like
your
an old
movies.
girl.
Oh, really? Do I look like a new girl, bro?
About you, but you do
do bring out the devil in me. Here's Johnny!
I think your critiquing of these movies really sucks.
And as for that, we will now be heading for our final episodes of the year. I will be having two episodes dedicated to the best of 2024 inside music and the iconic sounds of cinema. And I will also be having our holiday episode, because Tuesday the 24th is when we fall onto a holiday, I believe. And that is when I will be hosting our annual like holiday themed episode. So come in for good cheer and good tidings. I want to thank you, Danny, once again for a great year of At the Movies. And we will be back next year. Cool.
Thank you for having me.
It is going to be extravagant because we are almost at the 500th mark. So definitely,
yes,
expect a big thing from At the Movies very, very, very soon.
Awesome.
I will wish you a good week of streaming, a bon cinéma. Thank you for joining me again for this wonderful year of discussing film, Danny.
And once again, thank you for having me, Remy, and bon cinéma.